This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. There are big challenges facing divorced and separated parents. What do you do with a stay-at-home order if you share custody of a child? Should children stay in one place, or can they split the time between homes? If a child does stay in one home, what should the other parent do to stay in touch? Here to talk through all this is Susan Myers. She is a family lawyer and the president of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers. Susan, thanks so much for talking to us.
It's my pleasure, Michelle.
And I'm just guessing you're getting a lot of questions about this, are you?
We are getting a lot of questions about this, and not just from married couples who've been divorced, but also from couples who were not married, and they are either finished with some sort of court process or in the middle of it. It's a question for everybody around the country.
And you've helped issue some guidelines to help parents during this time, as briefly as you can, because we do want to get to the listener questions. Can you just give us a sense of what some of those guidelines are?
Well, we've done two guidelines, actually. One was done yesterday. We issued it out in a press release, and that comes after the experience that we had with the seven guidelines we issued in the middle of March. The 19 tips that we issued yesterday expands on those, and it talks about guidelines, which is all we can do, because each family is like a fingerprint. They're similar, but they're very different.
Okay. Thanks. So go to your website and look these things up, because you're right. We don't have time for all 19, although I'm sure they're important. So let's go to our listener questions. Especially this whole social distancing thing, it's very tricky for everybody, but particularly parents who aren't together. This is Natalie from Florida.
In the age of social distancing, what does that mean for co-parenting families? In the event that one of the family members is diabetic or asthmatic, which make them in the more vulnerable group for contracting the disease?
What do you think, Susan?
I think there's a couple of things that Natalie could do, and it includes reaching out to professionals. What she needs is to have some sort of comfort or trust that when the children visit the other parent, they're going to be as well taken care of as they would be in her home. It's not unusual, and after a divorce, couples don't usually trust each other more. But this is one of those times that we really need to put our best communication skills to the front and make sure that we're going to commit to follow the CDC guidelines, if there are any particular guidelines for the children's health. And if it seems impossible to reach an agreement, then at the very least, try to create makeup time, because what people are afraid of is losing what they have. So if you can make assurances and put it in writing that when we get through this, the children are going to have plenty of makeup time. And in the interim, try to make it as possible and as open to the children as possible so that they see both parents are important through communications with FaceTime, Zoom, all kinds of things that creative parents can create.
And a similar question, but I do want to run it by you. This is from Aaron in North Carolina. Here it is.
I have a question about child custody and visitation during this time. Not all parents are in agreement about whether to continue visitation as usual in both homes due to concerns about the virus. Yet restricting a child's visitation could have effects on that child's relationship with the other parent, especially if their visitation is already limited. What do you recommend?
Well, what we're seeing through most of the country is that courts are expecting, not just expecting, but they want people to follow court orders. So if there is a lockdown in place where you can still go to grocery stores or go to the pharmacies, there is an expectation that you will be able to manage the visitation as well. Of course, there's going to be lots of exceptions when you're dependent on some sort of communication. Transportation is more difficult. But the general rule, the general guideline that our judges across the country are enforcing is follow the orders. Only when you can't follow the orders for exceptional purposes should you be excused. And if there are going to be enforcement after this is all over, the court's going to be looking at the parents to figure out, were these parents actually trying to have a good relationship with both parents and their child?
Here's a question, a similar question, but from a different vantage point. We've seen a number of comments from parents who have made the decision to keep their kids at one parent's house for the duration of the lockdown. But do you have some advice about explaining this to the kids?
A couple of ways that you could explain it to the children, but it depends on the age, Michelle, because different ages are going to need different levels of communication. Your older kids, you're going to be able to let them see the news, and they probably know what's going on anyhow. And they'll also be able to communicate in a way that's meaningful with their other parent through the means that we've talked about before. But when you've got the little ones, the ones that are harder to explain to, a couple of techniques that we've learned from our friends in the mental health profession is create a routine so that every night the parent that's not in the home with the child has a phone conversation or FaceTime or something where there's visual, and maybe there's a shared book in each home. And the parent that's away from the child reads that book to the child every night so that there's an assurance, there's a pattern, there's something that the child can relate to and know that everything's going to be okay. Both of my parents are doing what they need to do to keep me safe.
Before we let you go, Susan, I don't want to gloss past this. There are some disturbing reports that show that domestic violence is increasing at a time like this, and you can understand why. Where can people turn to for help if they're actually sheltering with someone who's hurting them?
At the very least, call 911. Secondarily, all the shelters will figure out how to keep you safe. Do not suffer that abuse.
That is Susan Meyer. She is a family lawyer and president of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers. Susan, thanks so much for your time. And you stay safe.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
And finally today, we're going to end the program by highlighting something that is making us smile right now.
The closest thing I've ever come to being a doctor is putting on a costume. And while it is close, it's not quite the same.
Actress Olivia Wilde played a doctor on the TV show House. She posted this video to her Instagram in tribute to first responders.
I just want to say thank you to all the real healthcare heroes out there. And there's some other people who want to say thank you as well.
I'm not a doctor, but I was paid to be one on TV.
Doogie Howser, MD, Dr. Christina Yang from Grey's Anatomy, Nurse Jackie, Dr. Turk from Scrubs, all joined in the chorus of thank yous.
There are real heroes on the front line. Real heroes out in the street. I'm not one of them. I'm in my house.
I know that they're recruiting retired doctors and nurses, and if you want to recruit the fake doctors, we are ready. We can help hand you stuff.
Well, I'm sure we all look forward to a time when the biggest medical dramas are playing out on TV and not in real life, but until then...
Thank you so much. You're literally saving our lives.
Please know that when I talk about how to be as a human, who you should grow up to be as an adult, I'm using you all as true examples to my children.
I'm Michelle Martin, and I've never played a doctor on TV, but I'd also like to express my gratitude to the doctors in my family and all the medical professionals and hospital workers all over the world who remain on the job. We appreciate you all. We'll be back tomorrow with more of your questions. If you've got a question, go to npr.org/national conversation. Tweet us. This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.